Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we are continuing with our series of thematic investing conversations, which means we are joined once again by thematic investing strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Michelle LaLiberty. With that, Michelle, welcome back to the studio. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time with our listeners and clients today.
Good morning.
So, Michelle, I know you're joining us today to spotlight a new publication series from the UBS Chief Investment Office, which is known as the Longer Term Themes Quarterly. So congratulations on the launch. As a starting point, I'm curious, what can readers, our clients, expect from this publication series on an ongoing basis? And what are some of the focuses within the inaugural edition of the publication, which you're spotlighting for us today?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I would just say first and foremost that we're aiming for consistency. So for our listeners and our readers, this update is coming once a quarter, and we plan to use it to discuss some of the timely market-moving thematic developments that are relevant for investors at any one time. So in this first edition, we highlighted AI, space, and security. We highlighted the U.S. election. And we also provided just a simpler way to think about the longer-term themes that we've already identified. So for those of you who might not be as familiar, we do have 29 longer-term investment themes. And that's understandably a lot to process and to understand it in a portfolio context. So to help with that, we've grouped them together into six overarching clusters, just to give a better sense of how things fit together and what themes have some overlap with one another.
Now, Michelle, on that point about simplification, again, going from 29 themes down to six, one of the six thematic clusters is security and critical infrastructure. I must admit I was a bit surprised to see the space economy in that category. So a couple of thoughts. Why exactly is that? And what does the space economy have to do with infrastructure or security? Or better yet, why does this topic matter for investors?
Yeah, I can definitely see how that might strike some people as odd at first glance. And a lot of people, when they hear space economy, don't think about security. They think about future of space tourism, blasting off to the moon, right? We've all seen these shows about space and intergalactic travel, and that's all fun and it's fun to talk about. But when I say space economy, I'm really talking about the true economic definition. So caveat, that does include low Earth orbit. So apologies for any scientists who may be listening in. I know it's a bit of a caveat there. But the economic definition does include low Earth orbit. And the traditional space economy as we know it today is absolutely fundamental to security. So for instance, Defense Support Program, or DSP, satellites are an integral part of North America's early warning systems for missile launches. So when I say security, I mean it in both good and not so good ways, right? But the space economy has become so intertwined with this idea of security that the U.S. has even considered labeling it critical infrastructure. They haven't done so yet, but it has been considered. And I don't think it's surprising when you think about it in this light that we're seeing governments support their space sectors. NASA's budget is actually near levels we haven't seen since the early 1960s, so the first space race. And Europe has also dedicated a strategic fund to invest in space-based assets specifically for security purposes. Now, let me just wrap up by saying it's not all bad news, though. There are plenty of very positive use cases for satellites and space technology as well, from everything from Earth observation to natural disaster response and more.
Sticking with the topic of space, Michelle, it is quite fascinating. A lot of components within, as you alluded to, though the report does dive into some of the potential election scenarios, and you do mention the space economy again here. So I'm curious, what influence could the election have on this topic, space, the space economy, or on the themes more broadly speaking?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is that we don't recommend making any rash portfolio decisions based on the election. And the best portfolio is a well-diversified, apolitical one. But of course, we are fielding a lot of questions about this election already. So we are monitoring the potential for policy and fiscal changes that could impact short-run performance. And you asked about space specifically. So if we remember here, former President Donald Trump actually created the Space Force. So this was his administration's initiative. So in that sense, if he were to win the presidency, he's likely to continue supporting it. But that said, at the index level, when we think about the space economy and what drives it, as I mentioned, there are a lot of defense companies that get looped in here. So whether or not the Space Force is supported might be overruled or outweighed by any potential changes to defense spending. So that's definitely something to watch for, no matter who is in office. And we have seen support really wane for overseas spending. So a couple of different moving parts here. And I would say outside of space, another thing that we're going to hear a lot about is the Inflation Reduction Act and whether funding will get cut there. I'd say overall, and this is not true just for the IRA, but it's true more broadly, the makeup of Congress will matter a lot. So generally, a split Congress is going to have a much harder time making sweeping changes to existing law. So under a split Congress, we're likely to see greater reliance on executive action. But in short, again, there's just a lot of moving variables, and it's still very early. So I'd recommend taking a look at the full report for more. Reach out to us with any questions, and we'll continue to keep you posted as the election gets a little closer here.
Definitely interesting to hear about those implications, and do look forward to having some follow-up conversations on that theme, among others. So before we close out today, Michelle, anything in the way of final thoughts, takeaways, anything you would like to reinforce for our listeners?
Sure. I think just to sum it up, Dan, I would encourage our listeners to tune in every quarter moving forward. Again, this is just the first report of many to come. So keep an eye out for our upcoming summer edition.
And to that end, I will encourage our listeners, our clients of UBS, to reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the report, which Michelle has been referencing this morning, Longer Term Themes Quarterly. As the title suggests, this will be a quarterly publication, and we look forward to having a quarterly conversation about the themes here on Top of the Morning. Though, Michelle, thank you again for dropping by the studio, and look forward to continuing the conversation in a couple of months.
Thanks, Dan.
Again, today we've been joined by Michelle Liberty, thematic investing strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.